Okay, thank you for joining our webinar today on opportunities to sub-Saharan Africa. My name is Kimberly Williams, and I am an outreach and recruitment officer, and I'm joined by my colleague.
Hi, my name is Faven Bazuna, and I'm the program officer for sub-Saharan Africa.
Just as a reminder, if you are unable to attend or you must leave early, all webinars are recorded, and you will be able to view it at a later date on our website. I'd like to spend a few minutes discussing our history and mission. Established in 1946 by Congress, the Fulbright Program is an international exchange program in partnership with 160 countries worldwide. We offer faculty, administrators, and professionals from all backgrounds opportunities to teach and/or conduct research. I'd like to highlight our mission, which is to foster mutual understanding between nations, advance knowledge across communities, and improve the lives of others around the world. In terms of diversity and inclusion, it is at the forefront of our mission. We are actively recruiting a diverse pool of applicants for the Fulbright program to include applicants from minority-serving institutions, community colleges, and rural institutions. We absolutely encourage all people to consider Fulbright. Fulbright by the numbers. The main purpose of this slide is to show that Fulbright is accessible because we offer a large number of awards each year. We fund 800 U.S. Scholar and Administrator Awards annually. As you can see, once you become a Fulbrighter, you become a part of a vast network of approximately 390,000 alumni. Distribution of awards. This slide emphasizes the fact that Fulbright allows for a wide variety of activities depending on the strengths and preferences of the applicants. This particular distribution changes from year to year just because many awards allow you to choose your preferred activity. Also, activity preferences can change year by year. Eligibility for the U.S. Scholar Program. These are overall eligibility requirements. The most essential one to keep in mind is that the program is only open to U.S. citizens. Green card holders are not eligible. For the degree and experience as required by awards section, the categories listed are the most common ones seen in the awards requirement tab. All award requirements will be found within the award, and we'll do a walkthrough of the catalog of awards shortly. So at this time, I wanted to begin by highlighting some of our awards within the program. So currently, we have 25 countries represented, 42 award offerings in the region, and we offer a flex option for multiple visits for short periods of time. The below quote came from a Fulbright scholar to Ethiopia. She speaks about her experience in having the ability to take her husband and child on her Fulbright. It is possible for your dependents to accompany you. In some cases, there are even educational benefits for your dependents. So there is the opportunity for your dependents to have a culturally rewarding experience as well. In terms of our regional highlights, so some of our most popular awards are our All Disciplines Awards. As you can see, there are numerous countries that are featured within business and economics. We have several countries, computer science. We feature three countries. We do offer postdoc opportunities, STEM opportunities, and TEFL and education opportunities as well. I wanted to spend a few minutes highlighting a couple of awards. The ones that I selected differ in discipline. So the first award is a Cybersecurity and Digital Forensics Award to Botswana. Basically, for the award, you will be responsible for teaching undergrad courses. As you can see, the grant length is between 4 and 5 months, and it's open to professionals, academics, to include early career and postdocs. There is the Social Sciences and Humanities Award in South Africa. For this particular award, you will be conducting research, teaching undergrad or grad courses, and a combination of teaching and research in your area of specialization. This grant length is between 6 and 10 months, And for this award, affiliation is possible at any of the 26 universities or technical universities in higher ed within the country. Again, this award is also open to professionals, academics of all levels. Next, we have the Economics and Finance Award to Cote d'Ivoire. You are able to teach undergrad courses in economics and finance, also conduct research in your area of specialization. The grant length for this award is 10 months, and it is open to academics with the exception of early career. There's also the All Discipline Award to Ghana, where you are able to teach undergrad and or grad courses. Grant length is 10 months. The affiliation for this award may be with any accredited public or government universities as well as private. This award is open to academics of all levels to include early career. So for this next set of awards, I wanted to specifically point out that the Journalism and Broadcasting Award to Zambia is open to applicants who fall outside of the PhD realm. You do not have to have a terminal degree to apply. In this award, you would teach courses and lectures in journalism and broadcasting. The grant length is 10 months. Another great opportunity within Zambia is going to be the Multidiscipline Award to Copper Belt University. And it's teaching applicants in agriculture, computer science, economics, and education. You would be teaching grad and undergrad courses, and the grant length is 10 months. And so I really wanted to highlight a couple of awards where there are different disciplines, and it's open to not only PhDs, but professionals in early career as well as postdocs. Speaking of postdocs, we offer 8 awards. 3 awards are in all disciplines, and the other 7 range in applied science, computing, cybersecurity, science and technology, social sciences, and humanities. And another program that we have is the Africa Regional Research Program, and it allows applicants to conduct research in up to 3 sub-Saharan countries. Applications are accepted for countries in the region with active Fulbright U.S. Scholar programs with the exception of South Africa. And the flex option is available for scholars who require multiple visits to the host countries. When you are searching in the awards catalog, you will be able to filter out awards that feature the flex option, but there are different parameters that are required, and it does vary award to award if it is an option. And at this point, I wanted to start by doing a guided tour of the website and catalog. So we are going to start with the catalog. Please bear with us for 1 second. Okay. Here we are on the CIS.org website. As you can see, we scroll down and we are selecting the Browse the Awards catalog. So here you are able to filter by region, country, or discipline. So for this activity, we're going to start by region. So we're going to select Sub-Saharan Africa. And we'll leave all the other fields blank. So here you will see all 42 awards, which are arranged in alphabetical order. If you scroll down on the left-hand side, again, you can also filter here by country, discipline, activity, grant length, degree requirement, candidate profile, and invitation letter. So we're going to scroll back up, and we're going to click on an award. We can start with this one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is what our awards look like. There is the number code associated with the award. So you have 4 tabs at the top. You have your award details, award requirements, stipend and benefits, and country and area overview. So So I'd like to point your attention to the right-hand side, the far right, where you can see the application deadline, which is Tuesday, September the 15th. So looking at grant activity, the grant activity will explain what the activity is and any responsibilities. As you can see with this award, you're teaching undergrad or grad courses. Grant length for this particular award is 9 months, and grant date. This will indicate the earliest that you can begin your grant date. Underneath, you'll see locations. These will be the locations that are offered for affiliation, and I do encourage you to pay close attention. Depending on the award, you may have specific locations listed, or you may see language that says any public university within the country, so it's very important to pay attention to the location. If we scroll down, in some cases, there is contact information for the universities that are listed. I do encourage you to reach out if you have any questions about, let's say, proposed research or whether or not a specific topic or discipline is actually relevant for the purpose of the award. And if we scroll down a little more, as you can see, the flex option is not available for this award. And because this is an all disciplines award, there is not an additional discipline type. So if we can scroll up and go to the next tab, which is award requirements. Okay, so in award requirements, you'll see different pertinent information. In this particular case, it says applicants are encouraged, in bold, to register qualified language evaluator. If you scroll down, you'll see information regarding the invitation requirement. In this case, a letter of invitation is preferred. I always advise applicants, if it is preferred, to go ahead and move forward with getting it if it's an option. As you can see, language proficiency requirements, it just says recommended. And there is additional information regarding the language requirement. While English will suffice, some French proficiency will be useful. Underneath, you'll see the applicant profile. And I also want to point out, when you are in the awards catalog, you also have the option of filtering out the results by applicant profile. In this case, it states that scholars with a PhD and at least 5 years of postdoc university or college teaching experience is preferred. In terms of additional information, there may or may not be contacts from the embassy, or there could be other pertinent information, helpful links to the universities where you could potentially do affiliation, maybe list it. If we scroll up, our next tab is stipend and benefits. So here it gives you the range for your stipend, estimated travel and relocation allowance, and another important section is going to be your estimated book and research allowance. I just want to point out that each award is different. In this particular award, there is a $1,000 allocation for books and educational materials. If we scroll down, there is additional information regarding the dependent tuition allowance. As I stated earlier, some awards do offer the benefit. In this case, they are offering up to $12,500 per child or $25,000 per family. And underneath, you'll see special award benefits. This is the section where if university housing is an option, it will be notated here. In this case, it does notate some specific information about the housing. Again, it depends by award. If we scroll back up, country and area overview tab. So this is the section where you are likely to see just an overview of the country or the grant itself. In this case, it gives the summary of the number of grants available in this particular award. There is only one. And again, the overview may contain information on the country. I do want to point your attention to the far right again. Underneath the application deadline, you'll see the activity, which is teaching and research. degree requirements, PhD or other terminal degree required. There's the candidate profile, which is academics, all levels, including early career. As stated in the summary, there is approximately one award. And underneath is program staff. So I will be your point of contact for all of Sub-Sahara. It has my phone number and email address. However, if you are browsing other awards outside of the region, I do encourage you to reach out to the program staff that is listed on the award, as they will be able to better assist you with the country that you have interest. So I'd like to scroll back up. And I'd actually like to go back to the homepage. Okay, so I'd like to bring this to your attention, my Fulbright. I do encourage you, if you have not already registered, to please do register. It provides you information about our program. Our registered members will be notified of the latest program updates, even webinars and other helpful resources. I'd like to go back one more time to the homepage to show you a couple of other areas with useful information. So if we scroll down slightly, I'd first like to go to Explore U.S. Scholar Programs. Okay, here you'll find more detailed information. So if we scroll down a little bit, this just gives you an overview of the program. If we scroll down a little further, you're able to build your application there. And again, if there are other webinars for other regions or disciplines that may be applicable, you're able to click there as they are all recorded. If we scroll back up, let's go to the eligibility tab. This gives you an overview of the eligibility for the program. As we stated earlier, U.S. citizenship, gives you more information about the candidate profile, candidates who have just different requirements in terms of the award based on category. If we go over to the next tab of application, as we said, you can register your interest on My Fulbright. Also available is the eligibility and application checklist. You may download applications and you may begin your application online. Again, the deadline is September 15th, as noted. If we scroll down a little further, we'll see the required materials for applicants, which is your project statement, your CV or resume, recommendation letters, and your portfolio, if applicable. And again, you can click on the requirements next to each criteria for more information. And let's scroll up. Next, we have review criteria. So here you'll find the criteria for your application in terms of your training background and experience and quality of the project. Okay, and let's scroll back up to timeline. Okay, so our competition is currently open. As I said, the deadline is September 15th. So October to November, we are conducting a peer review with committees in our DC office, and they are reviewing and determining whether or not your applications are going to be recommended for further consideration. If we scroll down a little more. In December, applicants are notified by email whether or not their application has been recommended for further consideration in the host country. December to May, your application will be reviewed overseas. And between January and June, all recommended candidates are forwarded to the J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board for approval, and candidates will be notified whether or not they've been selected. And June onward, grant details are finalized. So if we can scroll back up. I'd like to go back to our homepage one more time, and I'd like to show you our scholar directory. So if we click on this, you are able to see a list of all U.S. scholars, and you're able to filter it out according to your wishes. So for this purpose, we're going to select U.S. scholar only. We're going to click on Advanced Filters. So let's say I am looking for scholars in Ghana. So I'm going to select Ghana under Program Country. And for the purpose of this example, let's go to Discipline. And I'm going to select, let's say, Biology. And we will click on Search. Okay, as you can see, this gives me a list of all U.S. scholars that have affiliated with institutions in Ghana, and you can see the academic year. You can see the host institution and their home institution. So another great resource, if you have any questions, for example, about their experience, let's say Danita, who went to University of Ghana, you could actually copy her name, maybe input it in Google, or maybe search for her on LinkedIn. And they're great points of contact to just ask about their experiences in country. And it's also a great way to see which institutions have hosted scholars recently. This may help with deciding on which institution to affiliate with. And this concludes our website walkthrough. So we're going to go back to our presentation. And again, this is a more detailed look at our application cycle. Again, the deadline is September 15th, and grantees are notified of final approval between January and April. And we do encourage you to stay connected with us. As I mentioned before, you can join my Fulbright at CIES2.org. You can always email our regional inbox at subsaharanafrica@iie. And again, there are our website links. And at this time, we are going to open the floor to questions. If you have any questions, please type them in the box and we will answer them. Okay, so one of the questions that we have, are undergraduate students eligible for Fulbright? Unfortunately not. However, we do have a student program for Fulbright, and I do encourage you to take a look at their website. Their competition actually launches next month, and they do have great opportunities within the Sub-Saharan region. Okay, just taking a look at some additional questions. Okay. Do applicants need to be affiliated with a home institution? I'm going to toss this over to my colleague, Faven.
No, not necessarily. Some awards might specify that you need to be affiliated with a home institution, but for the most part, you do not need to be affiliated with one.
Thank you, Faven. Okay, just scrolling through the questions. So I have a question here. Besides a letter of invitation, is there any other role the host plays in the application process? So in addition to having your letter of invitation, there's not necessarily an additional role that they would play in the application process. But let's spend some time talking about the letter of invitation. On our homepage, if you filter through the frequently asked questions, there is criteria for the letter of invitation. Often I'm asked the question of, I don't have contacts at the proposed institution. How do I go about getting a letter of invitation? So you can do it, you can go about it a number of ways. Oftentimes we have people that reach out to maybe a dean or director within the particular school. LinkedIn is also a great way to make contact. You would actually email them and inform them of your proposed research, inform them that you are applying for a Fulbright. And they're more inclined if you do attach maybe your CV with a brief description of your research or teaching proposal to be able to follow up and provide that letter of invitation. I do encourage applicants, once they have decided on an invitation that they would like to affiliate with, to request the letter on the front end. I've seen the letters take weeks or even months, so that's something that should be done early on in the process. Thank you for your question. Another question, when a university has hosted a Fulbright, can it host one again? Absolutely, but one thing I would encourage you to do is use the reference within the Scholar directory and filter out the directory to, just for your peace of mind and knowledge, to know when's the last time an institution has hosted a Scholar. For example, if they're currently hosting one now or hosted one, let's say, the last couple of years, while they are able to host again, they may not be inclined to host again. You also want to look at the disciplines of those who are currently with the institution just to determine if your discipline is perhaps the same. But the short answer is yes, they can actually host again. Okay, perfect question. I would like to apply to Ethiopia, Jimma University, and it is not on the approved list. The consular in Ethiopia has not yet responded. Who else should I talk to? So if you do find yourself with an existing contact or connection with an institution that is not listed in the award, please email me directly at the regional web box, and I'm able to follow up with program management to see if there is the possibility of getting approval. But do include what the relationship is. For example, if you've conducted research there previously and you have an existing relationship, include that in the email, and I am able to work with program management to see if affiliation would be possible. Thank you for your question. Okay, I see the reoccurring question. Do you have advice on how to establish contacts with hosts? Again, it's all about utilizing the Scholar directory. If you do see that there has been a Fulbright Scholar at the institution, reaching out to that Scholar could be helpful. They could point you in the right direction of who to reach out to. Also, in certain awards, they will list an email address of the person that you would need to reach out to obtain a letter of invitation. Again, every award is different, but do pay attention to the details of the award. And also, just reaching out to the institution, again, starting with directors, maybe deans, informing them of what you're proposing to do and that you're applying to Fulbright. Great question. Thank you. Are working professionals, non-academics with a master's degree eligible to apply? Faven?
Can you pull up the awards catalog? So for every award, there's a degree requirement. For some awards, a terminal degree is not required, or if a master's is a terminal degree for the specific field, then that would be accepted.
So
search Kenya or the first one there, Benin. Okay, click on that. Go down. So for the awards that you're interested in, on the right-hand side where it says degree requirement, that will tell you exactly what's required for the award that you're applying for. I just have a couple of questions regarding that.
So again, it's really important to pay attention to the details within the awards. Or you can also filter it out by your particular degree or credentials or what exactly you're looking for. I have been seeing a reoccurring question. If you applied last year and you were unsuccessful with moving forward, what can be done? So you're also able to email the regional inbox, and we can talk through your application, maybe discuss relevant awards. But again, it's all about just reaching out to us and scheduling an appointment, and we can go through your previous application and discuss potential awards for this recruitment year. Okay, just taking a look at a few more questions. So here's a question. Generally speaking, what, I guess, percentage of applicants are successful in getting accepted? So unfortunately, we're not able to release those types of numbers. Our job is to advise you to the best of our ability and make sure we are suggesting awards that match your background and experience. Can you apply for more than one in the same year? So that would be a no. When you're selecting an award, you can only select one award, and the award that you are selecting is going to be the sole award you are able to apply for. Here's another question. Can I stay shorter than the specified time, for example, 3 months rather than 6 to 9 months?
If you want to do short term, I would encourage you apply for the Africa Regional Research Program. Those are the flex programs where you do short term, such as 3 months. For the other programs, in the description, it will indicate exactly how many months is required for each award. And I think on top of my head, 5 months is probably the minimum.
Okay, we have another question. As a visual artist and educator, I'm interested in teaching in Ghana as well as conducting research as it pertains to my own art practice. Are there many opportunities specific to visual artists? So I do encourage you to filter it out by discipline, but there are several all disciplines awards, which is truly open to all disciplines, that you would qualify to apply for. So I do encourage you to take a look at the all disciplines and filter by your specific discipline in the arts. Okay, just scrolling down again, some more questions about the letters of invitation. So yes, the letter of invitation can come from a dean, a department chair, or faculty, yes. Okay.
And there's a question that says, if you're a naturalized citizen, can you go to your country of origin? And that's yes.
Okay, we have more questions about disciplines. What if our discipline is not listed as an eligible discipline? Does this preclude us from applying? Absolutely not. I do encourage you to look at the All Disciplines Award. Now, when you do look at those awards, I encourage you to read through the details. Now, while these awards are all disciplines, there may be a preferred interest in certain disciplines. However, if an award does say all disciplines, it is truly open to all disciplines. Okay, just going through the questions. Okay, when can I expect to actually go to my application country? I'm applying now, and I'm applying to Uganda. Sure. So within the award, you'll see the possible start date. So it all depends on the language within the award. It may say the start date. It gives you a range between August and October, or it may specifically say October. But it is very helpful to just make sure you're going through the award guidelines, because it will specifically state when the award will start. Okay, I have another question about returning applicants. So if you applied within Sub-Sahara last year and you weren't successful with moving forward, please go to the award that you are interested in. Your program contact will be myself, Kimberly. My phone number is there, as well as my email. I would first start by emailing a copy of your CV. That way I can go over it, and if there are any specific awards that you're interested in, please do include them there so that I can review your information with the awards. Okay, just reading some more. Is it possible to use an invitation letter from an earlier year application? It will not be possible. When you are reaching out to the potential host institution, they will need to indicate perhaps the month that it is proposed for you to begin. So let's say you attempted to use the letter from last year. It would have to have the information of the proposed grant. So let's say you're starting August 2021. That information would need to be included, as well as what you're proposing to do, whether it be teaching and or research. Is an MFA still considered the terminal degree for visual artists? And that is correct. It is considered a terminal degree. Another question about the scholar directory. If we can go back to our homepage to show our viewers how to access it. So we're going to take you back to our homepage. So if you are on our website, at CIES.org. Underneath the graphic, you'll see View the Fulbright Scholar Directory. And so from here, you're able to filter it out according to your needs. Again, just ensure that you're selecting U.S. Scholar. The other option would be non-U.S. visiting scholars, which wouldn't be applicable in this case. But again, ensure you're selecting U.S. Scholar and you're able to filter from there. Okay, so we're going to go back to questions. Okay, so it looks like some of the remaining questions are questions that have been asked before, which is fine. I can just go back through them. Let's see. So there are more questions about affiliation with institutions that are not listed. So if there is an institution within the award, well, if the institution that you're proposing work with is not listed in the award, please use the email address, which is the subsaharanafrica@cis.org, to email me. Please include the institution that you are hoping to affiliate with and what the existing relationship is, whether you've worked with them in the past or they have agreed to write your letter of invitation or there is an interest. If you can send that to me, I can work with program management to see if we can get that institution approved for affiliation. That would be great. Let's see. Again, for applicants who currently hold a bachelor's degree, I do encourage you to look at our student programs. You are eligible for the student program up until the point you finish your doctoral program, so there are a lot of amazing opportunities to the Sub-Saharan Africa region. I do encourage you to take a look at their program. The catalog actually opens and competition opens next month. Okay, some more questions. Let's see. Okay, so there's a question about medical professionals.
Yes, so for MDs, again, as Kim stated earlier, just search by discipline for medical sciences. But just keep in mind that you cannot carry on a project that has patient contact, so no patient contact.
Okay, so some more questions. Let's see. Okay, so again, in terms of application deadline, the deadline is going to be September 15, 2020. There was a question about a deadline extension, so unfortunately applications will not be accepted after that point. So I do encourage you to, again, use the email address and reach out to me. I'm happy to work with applicants in terms of making sure you have all the requirements for the award or if you have any questions about specific awards.
There are a couple of questions from previous Fulbrighters who want to apply again for the same host institution, and the answer is yes, you may do that, but in your application, you should provide, you should clearly explain why you are applying again to the same institution and how your previous project can contribute to your new one.
Okay. So we're just looking at, trying to see if we can find some questions that haven't been answered yet. Okay, here's one. If the host's website does not have a lot of information, can your office provide it? Well, it depends on the information that you are looking for. So with the awards themselves, they're very detailed. If there are any questions regarding the award itself, please do reach out to me by emailing the Sub-Saharan Africa email address. But in terms of questions about the country, in the country overview section, there is additional information regarding the country, and in most cases, there is a contact email. So if you are unsuccessful with getting in contact with anyone in the email, do reach out to me, and I can see what we can do in terms of getting those questions answered. Okay. Looking at some of the other questions. Great questions, by the way. Okay. So there's a question. I graduated with my public health degree 5 years ago. What program would be available for me? Great question. I do encourage you to go to the awards catalog. Again, you can filter by discipline, and you are able to filter by public health awards, and all awards within that discipline will pop up for you, and you can just narrow it down by country. Here's a question about a JD. This comes from a JD student graduating soon. Realized that most of the opportunities state PhD. Would it be equally open for JDs? It would be. A JD would be considered a terminal degree for the purpose of the award, and you are able to apply for awards. Let's see what else. Okay. Again, I'm seeing multiple questions about the invitation letters, and I do encourage you to go to the FAQ page on our website. It's on the home page, and it gives you some really good resources of how to secure the letter of invitation and just some pointers for when you are reaching out to different institutions, some language to include in the letter. Okay. Here's a question about duration in South Africa. Let's see. So this really surrounds the question about the flex option. So the flex option is available for some awards, but the parameters differ for each award. So if you are looking for a flex option with a research award, I do encourage you to filter it out by flex. That's the easiest way to find all flex options. And again, the duration and parameters are going to be different for each country. So that's the easiest way to find flex opportunities. Okay, we're taking a look at some more questions. Okay, here's one about Namibia. Let's see. If I have a collaborator in Namibia, is it good to have this person write a letter of recommendation? Great question. So let's talk about letters of recommendations really quickly. So for those of you who are returning to the process this year, something that's different is we are only requiring two letters of recommendation. And what we're asking for is one internal letter written by someone within your organization and someone who's external that can speak to your what you're proposing to do. So if you're proposing to do research, this external contact will be able to really speak towards the work you've done in research. So that would be great in this case. Anyone that you've worked with who can attest to your abilities, you may use them to write one of your letters of recommendation. Okay, let's see some more questions. More questions about degree requirements. If you do have a medical degree, that is considered a terminal degree, even though it lists in many of the awards PhD requirement. It also says other terminal degrees. So, yes, if you have a JD or MD, you are eligible. Let's see, other questions. Let's see. Bear with us for one moment, just scrolling up for questions. So there's a question about what makes applications competitive. And something important to mention in your project statement is really speaking towards what you plan to do to be a cultural ambassador. What are you hoping to gain from this experience and bring back to your home institution? And what are you hoping to bring to your host institution? So it's about somewhat of a collaborative exchange. Great question. Okay, there's another question. Are you able to apply if you're in the middle of completing your master's program? This really all depends on the requirements of the award, and it depends on when you would be completing your degree. So I do encourage you to use the Sub-Saharan Africa email address to email me specifically. So if there are any more specific questions about, let's see, maybe your degree track or whether or not an award would be a good fit for you, I do encourage you to reach out to the email address. I do allocate 15 to 20 minute appointments where we can discuss your degree track, any potential awards that you're interested in, and maybe next steps or any specific questions that you have. So we have time for about two or three more questions. Let's see. I see a question about dependents. Okay. So just to give a little feedback about maybe bringing your dependents, again, it all depends on the award, what the guidelines or parameters are in terms of bringing your dependents. So do take a look in the benefits tab to determine whether or not that is a possibility. If you have specific questions, do reach out to me and we can navigate those together. Let's see, maybe one or two more questions. Let's see here.
Someone that says, is a master's degree considered a terminal degree? That depends on the field.
So in terms of a master's in fine art, that would be considered a terminal degree. But again, as Faven says, it all depends on the field. So we have time for one more question, and I do see one about a PhD candidate. So if the award is requiring applicants to have a PhD, unfortunately, as a candidate, you would be unable to apply for the award. But again, I do want to encourage those who don't have terminal degrees or those with bachelor's degrees. Again, if you don't have a terminal degree, I do encourage you to take a look and filter out our awards catalog. But if you do have a bachelor's degree, again, our student program is a wonderful opportunity for you to go to the region. There are a number of different award opportunities. I do encourage you to check with the website to see if there are any applicable awards that you may be interested in. So this does take us to about 3 o'clock. I do thank you for joining us. I just want to remind you that I am accessible via email. Please do email any questions to subsaharanafrica@iie.org. If for some reason this webinar may be of interest to any colleagues, I do encourage you to forward the link to them. This webinar will be available within the next 24 hours. It has been recorded, so you may refer back to it. And thank you for joining us.